This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from candidates in different parties seeking office in two different state house districts. Coming up, Calhoun County Commissioner Terrace Todd, who is seeking the Democratic nomination in the district that includes Battle Creek. But first,
Phil Stinchcomb is a Kalamazoo County Commissioner and is seeking the Republican nomination for State House in the 61st District that includes the city of Portage and is currently represented by Republican Margaret O'Brien, who is running for State Senate. Phil Stinchcomb, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks for having me.
Phil Stinchcomb, please begin by telling the audience some of your background and why you're running for State House.
All right. Well, my wife, Pam, and I moved to Portage in 1997, been living in the same city since then. We have three children, actually have a daughter here at Western Michigan, being a senior next year. Looking in my rearview mirror, it's kind of surprising. And I have two boys at Northern. Anyways, the reason why I initially got into public service was in 2008, I received a check from the Federal Treasury. That was TARP 1, and basically they were asking us to go out and to, you know, invest in the economy. Go out and buy a big screen TV. The economy looks like it's faltering. And I was kind of surprised by when I received that. You know, I was raised by my dad, my mom and my dad, who taught me, you know, put your hand to the plow, use your talents, support yourself, support your family, help your neighbor, that kind of thing. And when I received that check, it kind of was a wake-up call for me. And so every Friday night, we sit in front of, as a family, we have pizza, we watch the news. One time I watched the news. And I continually comment as I watch the news. At that point, I realized, okay, I can either continue to comment about the news, or I can show my kids, okay, it's time to get off the chair and get into the ring. I had no idea even where to start. Fortunately, I had a neighbor who was on Portage City Council, Margaret O'Brien. At that point, Larry DeShazer, who was on the Portage City Council, had left and ran for the 61st. He won, so it was an open seat. That was in 2008-ish. So in 2009, they had an election for that, and so that's where I started. I didn't know where to start. I thought, okay, I'll at least run for Portage City Council. So it's a herd mentality. Anybody can run. Winner takes all. I lost that race, and shortly thereafter, I received a telephone call from Margaret, once again my neighbor, who asked me to run or consider running for the county board. I thought about it. I just got done with this race. My wife and I, you pour your heart, soul into it, you beat, so you question, but my wife gave me the green light, and really that's where I was supposed to be in the end. So I ran, we won in 2010, and I've been a Kalamazoo County Commissioner since then.
Alex, first question for Phil Stinchcomb.
Well, Phil, it's no secret that road funding's one of the major issues on everyone's mind, and I know it's something that you're passionate about and would like to make a difference with. I've heard you speak on it before. What would you support as far as road funding, and could you possibly see the gas tax being raised to help support road funds?
Well, I'll start with the gas tax. I mean, right now we collect 19 cents per gallon on a gas tax. The problem we have is that we don't set that aside for roads, so we use a portion of it. Currently, I think we're using 89% of that goes to fix our roads. That's problem number one. Two is I do think that we have funds that are available. You know, state legislators, we have $9 billion plus to spend in a general fund annually that's appropriated through the Appropriations Committee. I would look at using some of that money to shore up our roads. I don't think necessarily we need to raise taxes at this point. I think we need to bring back the trust of the people that, okay, we're collecting a gas tax. We're going to set that aside specifically for roads and not spend it on something else. I think we need to regain some confidence there. And also look at funds we currently have. In addition to funding the roads, we got to be able to build quality roads. The state of Michigan, we allow currently 160,000 pounds to be dragged across our roads. Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, it's all 40,000 pound loads. Well, okay, if we're going to build our roads and say that we can bring 160,000 pound loads across them, then we need to build them to actually hold those loads. I think that we need to look at the whole structure of the roads themselves. Personally, I think they should be deeper. Now, that's probably going to cost more money. We're going to have to look at that down the road. But I think we need to, if we're going to allow truckers or people to haul those kind of weights, we need to build our roads accordingly. You know, I'm in the steel business. We deal with that every day. What they've done is, instead of building the roads to handle those loads, Then they turn around and regulate us by saying, okay, you can take 160,000 pounds across these roads, but you have to put multiple axles on those vehicles, which just increased the cost to businesses. I mean, we have to have eight axles in order to bring 80,000 pounds across Michigan loads, whereas you go down to Indiana, you got two axles, people are hauling 40,000 pounds all day.
So is it better to have the lower threshold of Indiana with a different – I mean, is in the end, is that better for business, even though they're not allowing as much weight?
No, I prefer bringing more weight. But the argument there is that I've heard is, well, if we reduce the weight that people can drag across our roads, then that's going to increase the number of trucks that are out there. I'd rather have heavier loads if we can do that. All I'm saying is I think we need to build our roads to accommodate that.
But if you're going to build them to accommodate that, as you say, that does require more money. If you don't want to raise taxes, can you give me some specifics of where you would not spend money or cut money in order to spend more on roads?
Well, currently the budget right now, there's 45% of the state budget's allocated towards health and human services, 30% for schools, and then you got the balance for everybody else. I mean, 45% for health and human services seems to be excessive. I mean, I would start there. If I can't come up with $500 million or $1 billion, if the legislator can't find that kind of money sitting around there, especially with some of the revenue, excess revenue that's coming in, you know, I think that that's a problem. I think it's there. It's just we don't have the leadership in place to be able to make the tough decision or to try to persuade the other legislators that this is the right way to go. I mean, roads are the number one government service that we all use. They're very visible. We've been talking about roads for a long time. We've been collecting a sales tax, and yet our roads still suck. I mean, why? Because we've been neglecting them? There's going to have to be a multiple-prong approach. My initial start would be look from within. And then if we can't do it, you know, we have to look at toll roading. I have no problem with that, going across 94. Take the federal dollars, tell them we're going to keep that. We're going to put it into a toll road. Something different. We have to change what we're doing. We can't continue to do it and throw Band-Aids or a couple bucks here and say that we're good, because we live in a four-season state. We need to be able to adapt.
You are open to toll roads.
I am open.
Alex?
Phil, it's unlikely that any measure to legalize or decriminalize marijuana would get on the ballot this fall. But where do you stand on the issue? Would you be in favor of all-out legalization statewide or possibly decriminalization?
Well, decriminalization I wouldn't have a problem with. I mean, it's still a federal law. I think it is. It needs to become a state issue, a state controlled. You know, we got, you know, the city of Kalamazoo has their ordinance, and we got the federal government that has their laws. And, you know, we got all these different things that nobody knows who's on first anymore when it comes to marijuana. Personally, I don't want to legalize it because I don't think we need to have another vice for people to get on to be able to, you know, get away from the stresses of the world. On the other hand, you know, I did participate in the Western Michigan discussion here regarding medical marijuana. I think that there are some benefits in medical marijuana that we should look at, but I don't think I would not support, you know, legalizing it to be able to sit at home and
smoke it.
Yeah, exactly.
The Center for Michigan did a survey of citizens around the state, and what they found was a status quo on taxes. There was no big mandate to cut them, but also people didn't want to see them raised. Is that where you're at, or would you push for some sort of a change in taxes if you're in the state legislature?
Well, I think that we need to review what we're doing. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, is my concept of changing the taxation. I think that going forward, we have to do something differently. You know, as a county commissioner, I know that we implement property taxes. I know how the process works. I know what's going on to maintain or to produce the revenue. Do I think it's going to last? No. That's why I'm an advocate for changing property taxes. I think the state of Michigan could be the leader of the nation to be able to change it, to make it more of a, you know, a consumption type tax. You know, we tax production. That is, people actually working, doing things. We're taxing that. We probably could spread out the tax base by doing more of a consumption type tax, which I would favor more of a sales tax. I think that would be able to generate mucho more revenue for any government to be able to provide the services that we want.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Phil Stinchcomb, a candidate for the Republican nomination in the 61st State House District, also a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette is here as well. Alex?
Phil, obviously we're still awaiting a final decision, but what is your stance on the state's gay marriage ban?
Well, I don't think government should be involved in this at all, personally. But I know that, you know, running for office, this is a question I'm going to have to answer. I support what the vote of the people was. I don't even remember what year where they supported marriage.
2004.
2004.
Okay, okay. You're correct. Yep. So it wasn't too long ago, but it was 10 years ago. Nonetheless, I still support that. Only because I look at myself, I'm kind of a naturalist. This is how I look at the way we live. Everything that exists on this planet's got to do three basic things. You got to get up, you got to survive, you got to protect yourself, and you got to reproduce. And, you know, number three there, you can't reproduce. To me, that's why I wouldn't support it. But it's not that I'm holding it against people. I don't think it's personally a responsibility of government to tell them what they can or can't do. I think that it should, needs to stay out of it. But since it keeps getting dragged in, that's where I would stand.
Should government just be out of marriage altogether?
Yes.
What about things like, you know, next of kin and that sort of thing? I mean, you know, when you get married, your spouse normally becomes your next of kin. How would you handle that if the government's out of marriage?
Well, I mean, we're picking basically, you know, this was established. It's really picking winners and losers is all it is. I mean, why would government say, okay, we're going to support you, man and woman, and not support somebody else because originally it was founded out? Now, I do agree with one man, one woman, and in my personal humble opinion, the best scenario is one man, one woman, one lifetime. But for government to give tax breaks or any type of benefit just because of a marriage or whatever, to me, is they don't need to be involved in that. They, you know, the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal things. So I don't understand why we have to select them to begin with in order to establish, I don't know, some kind of morality for ourselves. Or is it just to give a benefit because, you know, we have two people working in a family and we want to give them a break?
Governor Snyder came out in favor of, or at least in favor of, the legislature discussing amending the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, which is the state's non-discrimination law, to include protections for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. Would you favor that?
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if we're going to have it on the books where we have to identify everything under the sun, then so be it. My preference would be just to, we don't need it. But since government's got their hand in there and they want to make sure that everybody's following the rules, then do it.
You don't think the state needs a non-discrimination law at all? Protections for race, religious belief, that sort of thing?
My preference would be that, you know, people would honor other people and not be judgmental based on whatever they perceive them to be. They should operate out of fellow love to their fellow man personally. I understand why government's doing this because it goes back several years, you know, with racial feelings or anything else. Now it's come to gender and everything else. And I just think that it's every time we turn around, more and more is going to get added to it. My preference would be is just let people respect one another and do it your way out of love versus having government tell you that you got to operate this way. Is that reality?
Probably not.
If
people don't respect each other, what's the government's responsibility?
Well, the government, that's what they're doing. I mean, government is telling people how and who they need to be able to deal with.
But you, if it was up to you, would that law still be on the books?
Probably not.
Alex?
Phil, your opponent in this coming primary, fellow County Commissioner Brant Iden, you guys came in together in 2010. You guys will be facing off against each other this August. Does it create an interesting dynamic working together now?
I don't think so. I mean, I like Brant. He's not holding anything against me, and I'm not holding anything against him, you know, from what I can tell thus far. We have a good working relationship, so I think this is one of these things where we both feel compelled to go, and we're going to let the people decide who they want. And at the end of the day, if they pick Brant, that's great. I'll ride off into the sunset and do what I do normally. If they choose me, then fine. I'll go and do what they want me to do, and I'm sure Brant would support me, and I'll support him.
Phil Stinchcomb, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Phil Stinchcomb is a Kalamazoo County Commissioner. He is seeking the Republican nomination for State House in the 61st District. That includes the city of Portage. And thanks again to Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
We'll be right back.